Welcome back to America's leading higher education podcast, The EdUp Experience, where we make education your business. Hosts Dr. Joe Salustio, Elizabeth Leiba, and producer Elvin Freites bring you the brightest and most influential minds in higher education today. We explore innovations, ideas, and issues in higher education and beyond, and hopefully have a little fun along the way. Now let's get to it. Welcome back, everybody. This is the EdUp Experience Embedded Series. Very excited today to be one-on-one with Mr. Giovanni Estrada, FlowOps founder and CEO. Giovanni, how are you today? How are things going?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Oh, no, I've been really excited to talk to you because, you know, technology in our world in higher education right now is obviously a big deal, right? And you have a very unique technology on at your fingertips. So why don't we start there? Why don't you talk to our audience and me about FlowOps? What is it? What's the company based on? And talk to us about the technology behind FlowOps.
Yeah, so FlowOps itself started in back in 2014 is when I had the idea. I was in grad school in Santa Clara University, and I'm the first one in my family to ever go to college. So it was very difficult for me in some cases. And one day I failed an exam, and I went back to my room to kind of restructure. And that's when I had the idea about Flow. I looked at a syllabus, and I was like, man, there's a lot of information here. Why can't I just take a picture and extract whatever is important? And then from there, the idea of Flow came out. And however, in 2019, it became a reality. And just 2 months ago, we were in the Apple Store and also Google Play. But what Flow is itself is we use optical character recognition, where basically we take an image of a syllabus. We take a picture of the header and of the class schedule. And with that information, we populate data throughout the application so students can know when all the upcoming assignments are coming up. So for example, exams, quizzes, projects, homework, everything's in a newsfeed. You have the ability to archive all class material. So let's say if you have a certain class and they're studying about a specific topic, we can go ahead and audio record the class, take pictures of notes, share any PDF that is needed. And lastly, there is a group chat for every class that is established throughout this process as well. So that kind of sums up what Flow is in a nutshell.
So let me see if I can understand it here. So it's part social media, part organizer, part information gathering resource. Who is it being sold to and who's using it?
Yeah, so when I first came up with this idea, we were thinking that this was just going to be something for the university, so higher education. However, when COVID-19 hit, you know, all the classrooms started moving from in class to the digital classroom experience. And due to that, we have demand from middle school, high school, and even after school programs. So again, it's a very diverse portfolio right now. And, you know, due to COVID-19, this has come at a great time.
Yeah, you can say that again. You know, what's interesting in what you're talking about is first of all, a course syllabus can be very complicated. From the number of hours of study, which is a Department of Ed regulation that you define the hours of learning by credit hour on a syllabus to give a student an idea of, you know, how much study time they need to have, down to the inner workings of the course, the assignments. And whether you're on ground or online, it's a lot of information. How do you come up with the idea? How do you look at a syllabus and go, I'm going to make a technology that collates this information and only gives me the most important parts? How does that even happen? You know what? I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people. I'll be honest with you, Giovanni. I'm one of those people that goes, why didn't I think of that? And every time I say that to myself, I have no idea. I've got nothing else in the hopper. I don't go, oh, I should make a technology that does this or that. Somebody else always thinks about that. So how does that happen? How do you get to that point where you're looking at something and you're immediately thinking there's a technology to solve this?
Yeah, so again, it came through failure, which is very interesting, right? So, again, it was just a matter of kind of, I lacked in organization skills all throughout college, and it's not something that was really taught, in high school. So, I just kind of figured, I used Moodle and Blackboard in university, and it was very, it wasn't so intuitive. And I was just remembering, I would just log into Moodle and just kind of look at my syllabus, and that was pretty much what I did. And I remember all my peers did the same thing. So I always thought about, kind of coming out with an idea to make things more intuitive, more modern. And then everything just kind of clicked. I was really analyzing the syllabus just one day, and that's when everything just clicked. It's like, why can't I just take a picture? Actually, I remember one day I was looking at the TurboTax commercial, and I saw that how they took a picture of the W-2 form, and I was like, man, why can't we do this with the syllabus? And then from
Interesting.
there, yeah. So we did our own coding, our own scripting. Like, we didn't copy and paste anything. So from that idea, I had the idea, look, I can just take an image, actually, it's open source. You can take a picture of anything, but what you do, it belongs to you. So that's where the idea came. And optical character recognition, which is called OCR, is kind of the way that we kind of go about it.
That's interesting, right? So you get down to it, and how many times I know from my undergrad and grad school, and even my doctoral program, if I had a question, how many instructors or professors would say, just see your syllabus, right? Yeah, you got a question, go back to your syllabus. Okay, so now I'm on the move. I'm working. If you're on undergrad, you're moving from class to class. You're a graduate student, you could be working. Having the time to always go back and look for information is difficult. So how do you bring that information to the forefront, right? So this, it looks like too, this becomes almost like the reminder app in an iPhone or calendar alerts, where you're able to integrate the assignments from a syllabus and it populates onto your calendar so that you can then get notified of. So you could be a faculty member, right? Hypothetically, could you be a faculty member that uses FlowOps to remind themselves when these assignments are due? And you could be a student using FlowOps to remind you when your assignment is due so that your time management is more effective.
Correct. So I would say FlowOps itself, it takes many components and put it all into one. So it is a way to kind of stay organized. It allows you to kind of perform executive functioning, and also it allows for a social network with the group chats. So yeah, let's say, for example, let's say there's a university who's interested in FlowOps, right? And for example, Palm Beach State College is using this application here in Florida. So the way that it works, let's say there's a professor who has a class. He's teaching five different classes. Through the LTI and the API interface, basically, that's the way that we kind of automate the users and find out who the classes are, because we can interface with any learning management systems. So once we do that, we know the classes, we know the professors, we know the users. So let's say one teacher is teaching four classes. So that teacher, when they log into their profile, they will see four different group chats. And at the same time, they will see all the news feed for all their classes of all the assignments they have given to all their students. In addition to that, for every class that they're teaching, they have the ability to upload any audio recording files, et cetera. If I'm logged in as a student, let's say I'm taking seven classes, that'll be seven different group chats that I'm in. I'll have one news feed itself that allows me to kind of go through all the assignments that are coming up. And at the same time, I would have access to those seven classes of all the archives. So again, it's very intuitive. The application is literally just four buttons. And it's a great way to kind of stay in tune with everything that's going on. It's very easy to use for both teachers and students.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a really important point here, and that's there's an app that you can download on your phone, and unless you're mobile or you're thinking mobile, you're going to have a hard time connecting with Gen Z, our up and coming college students, students who are in college right now, who really are Giovanni. I'm a doctoral student. I'm Gen Xer, but I do everything on my phone. So, you know, I get every, you know, I'm texting, I'm emailing, I don't take a computer anywhere. If it's not something I can do on my phone, I'm not going to do it, aside from my job where I have a computer. But I mean, if it's not accessible to me on the phone, it's just not, it's not convenient enough. That's
exactly.
That's the way Gen Zers expect to learn. So how do you take, dusty information that's been sitting on a shelf or in a course somewhere, and how do you mobilize it, for lack of a better word? How do you bring it to mobile learning? So I'm not only am I right have this at my fingertips, but I feel like I can engage with it, especially if it's got a social media functionality to it. It begs me to be engaged, right? It wants me intuitively to engage with other people to create community, and therefore I'm reminded of my assignments and my due dates and such. Is that a big selling point for you, that this takes really a syllabus?
Yeah.
Let's just be honest, a normal higher education course syllabus is the antithesis of mobile learning technology, right? It's the complete opposite of what it could look like. So is this a big selling point for you?
Yeah, that's a huge selling point. I've interviewed many teachers in high school and even middle school, and they said that they didn't have one place where they were able to communicate with parents and also their students. They were communicating with them via emails, phone calls, social media, but they love the fact that there is a place that not only can you communicate with the students, but you can also share information and class content. So yeah, this is a huge selling point. And even myself, again, being the first one in my family to go to college, I was very scared to sometimes approach the teachers and also my peers and ask them a question. And so I thought about, you know, having this group chat. What's amazing about this group chat is it's a close group chat, so students cannot direct message each other. The reason to do that is to kind of avoid any type of issues. But through that, we have an overseer, which we can put in the teacher's assistant, we can put a professor. But this gives us a space where we can interact freely. So if I have a question on a problem, if I need help with some ideas on an essay, this is a great space. You know, I can take pictures of anything, and definitely this is one of the best selling points to Flow itself.
You know, let's take this. Let me ask just a personal question, if you'd elaborate on it. If you guys hear my garage door opening, going off like crazy, it's because people are going in and out. But that's one of the pitfalls of working from home, so we'll have to deal with it. But, you talk about being a first-generation student, and sometimes the fear or uncertainty that comes with maybe getting, you know, asking faculty questions or going to your administration with questions. I'm assuming I'm not a first generation a college student. My family, you know, I was given the privilege to have mom and dad who said, you're going to go to college, and that's it. We went to college and you're going to college, and that's just how it works, right? I recognize that. And so so that's part, you know, if you don't know, we do a lot of social justice work with this podcast. My co-host, Elizabeth Leiba, because we're trying to bring all perspectives into the higher education process here. But, you know, you bring up that point of feeling uncertain, being afraid to ask questions. And that's really why you created the social component on FlowOps, to give everybody a safe space to ask questions, right? A safe space to give the answers that you're looking for. Why? The question is, why is a student who's gone to college, first in your family to go to college, do you have that fear? Is college overwhelming for you when you first start, because nobody in your family has been able to mentally or, you know, really verbally prepare you for it? Talk about
that. Yeah, so, for sure. So again, first person in my family, I didn't know about the application process. My college counselor guided me through all that. And I remember applying to like 15 schools. I got into 11. I graduated top of my class and I got like four rides. I ended up going to Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts. And it was definitely like, it was a culture
shock. That's amazing,
by the way. I give thanks to God. But so honestly, I entered school and it was just a matter of learning a lot of time management, learning how to organize myself. I believe these executive function, like essentials, were things that we didn't really emphasize in school. You know, I was just like, this is your assignment and, you know, get it done. But I never really thought ahead. You know, I never really had like a schedule and kind of sat down and kind of laid out my whole semester. And then that fear itself, the reason it was implemented is because I always feared failure, and I always feared people looking down on me for asking, you know, something so lame. So therefore, I had that fear, which actually caused a lot of independence, which is why I kind of went about to kind of hustle and find out myself what are the answers and whatnot. But I believe through time, I did kind of open up and kind of build the confidence to kind of, you know, reach out if I did need help. But I just remember in the beginning, it was very tough. And when I transitioned to grad school, it was a little bit tougher for me to kind of open up again, just because, you know, I'm a grad student. You know, I studied mathematics in undergrad, and coming into engineering,
that's more
like
pressure too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I should know everything. So I remember I was in class, I was drawing circuits, I was trying to understand, I was doing so many things that for me, it became overwhelming. So when I went back to my room, I tried to analyze everything, and it got, you know, overwhelming. And that's why in the beginning, I didn't do so well, which is when I went back and kind of restructured everything. And I kind of manually did a flow, you know, on paper aspect of the application itself. But I wish I would have had flow in college. I feel like I would have been even way more successful.
Well, it's interesting because I think, you know, if you're representing your family as a first generation college student, there's so much pressure on you from not that your family's putting pressure on you, but the amount of pressure you're putting on to yourself to succeed, to be the first, to show everybody else in your family that you can do it. There's got to be pressure you put on yourself at that point. The reason I'm bringing this up, because this is a major issue in higher education, where we have a lot of first-generation college students at the particular, obviously the undergrad level, and we've talked to a number of college presidents. And retention is a big deal. Keeping your students engaged and in class and moving from term to term is so important. And if you lose the communication, especially with someone who's a first-gen student or coming from a varied economic background or you know, coming through a lower economic quartile, feeling that fear of failure, once you lose them, they're gone. And so what are you doing, or what are we doing as higher education to keep our first-gen students or students in general engaged? And I'm assuming that's a big part of what FlowOps can offer institutions today.
For sure. And I totally agree. You know, I just remember first week of college, it was always called syllabus week, right? Where we kind of take out our syllabuses and try to figure out, you know, what's going on. And that was obviously one of the toughest weeks, because you wanted to make sure that you weren't missing anything. And, you know, after 2 weeks, you kind of like let it slide. So again, what Flow does is, you know, it really simplifies everything, you know, with a matter of just taking pictures of your syllabus. Then everything is there. You know, you have no excuses to not know that assignment's coming up. You get notifications when things are due. You have no excuse if, you know, you're studying for an exam and you didn't know about a certain topic. You know, the whole audio recording is there. You know, there's notes that students can share amongst each other there. So again, I believe that what really empowers, you know, students from a first generation is, you know, different resources that they can rely on to be successful. I believe the biggest thing for anyone who's, you know, first one in their family to go to college is just a matter of organization and a matter of retaining everything. So I believe Flow brings everything together in a very intuitive and easy process.
All right. So for anybody that's interested, they can check out your site at Flow, FLO-ops.com. And really learn about the software, how to use it. So, you know, what do you want to say? You know, the last kind of two things that we always like to end up with here at the EdUp Experience are, you know, what do you think the future of higher education looks like, given COVID-19 and everything that's going to come after? And what else do you want to say about FlowOps that you would like our audience to hear or know about your company?
Yeah, so about the future of higher education and just education in general, I believe this is a time to be innovative. A lot of fears are out there due to the fact that so many students are learning online. And at the same time, teachers are teaching online. And because there's so many uncertainties, I believe this is the best time to become innovative, you know, learn new things, try new things. So I believe this is not something to be fearful, but an exciting time to actually make the best out of it. So I believe, you know, e-learning itself and higher education, it's something that is booming. But what really needs, we really need to work with the professors, you know, with the teachers' assistants, with the students, because they are the true voice of this higher education. So I believe this is a great beginning to a huge world in the tech industry. And I believe, you know, education is important, and I wouldn't have gotten to where I am today without it. So I don't see it going away. I just see this education evolving. And regarding to Flow, we are here to help. You know, we honestly, our whole purpose is not to make money. I solely believe that, you know, with COVID-19, there's a lot of students who are struggling, a lot of students who do not have the resource, which is why we are literally giving out trials and like semester trials, whatever is needed for your institution. You know, we are more than happy to implement it at your school, get honest feedback. And again, and even pricing wise, this is very cost effective. And in addition to that, if you don't have a learning management system, the Flow itself can work by itself. We have an intuitive dashboard where you can set up the classes, you know, which is why not only will we focus in on higher education, but this is something of interest when it comes to even high schools. So, you know, we are here to with the professors, with the students, with the teachers, with everyone. And we kind of just want to alleviate all the stress that has been happening, because there's so many unknowns, you know, so many schools are up in the air of what's going to happen in the spring and the fall next year, and even this upcoming semester. So we just want to be an extra hand, an extra resource to everyone out there.
Well, you know, I would encourage our listener base, because we know so many are working in higher education at an administrator level, to check out flow-ops.com. This is a plugin to your LMS, if you have one, that immediately turns information mobile, puts it in the hands of your students to keep them engaged toward being successful with their academics. And so how could you not check it out? Giovanni Estrada, thank you for joining me. I know you're willing to help, and you're someone who's willing to help, which is why I'm encouraging everybody to reach out to you via LinkedIn or via your website, because I know that you will help. It's so, so important that we are taking care of our first-gen students. The future of education is in the hands of the youth, and if we don't keep them engaged, then there's no future. Thank you so much for coming on today, Giovanni. We really appreciate it at the EdUp Experience. This is an embedded episode with Giovanni Estrada, CEO, founder, FlowOps.
Hope you enjoyed that episode. To learn more about the EdUp Experience, please visit edupexperience.com. And if you want to be in on the live recordings, please sign up for our email list. Go to edupexperience.com and sign up to be a subscriber. We'll let you know how you can listen in live and get the scoop before anyone else does. So, please, as always, feel free to share this podcast, rate, review, and subscribe. We would really, really appreciate that. You've been listening to The EdUp Experience, where we make education your business, with your hosts, Dr. Joe Salustio, Elizabeth Liva, and Elvin Freitas.